And we said, let's make our tagline, we make moving fun. And what can we do as a business and as a brand to literally bring that to life? What if we made this experience so positive and so different that we would stick out in people's memory? Right. So if you're ready, I can tell you some of the magic.
Let's do it. Yeah. Let's do it. I want to sprinkle it. Hey, everyone. Welcome back to the Pursuit of Profit podcast. Today's guest is a serial disruptor in service-based franchising. Ron Holt built Two Maids and a Mop from the ground up, scaling to over 100 locations nationwide before he successfully exited the brand. But he didn't stay retired. He's now set his sights on a new challenge, the $20 billion moving industry, an industry plagued by low customer satisfaction, inconsistent service, and outdated practices. In fact, moving companies consistently rank among the most complained about businesses in America. Ron's answer? Pink Zebra Moving, a franchise that's flipping the entire moving experience on its head. From rolling out literally pink carpet on the steps of your house to blasting music in every room on moving day, they even gift you dinner the night before the move. They send a mascot to greet the family. Ron is turning an otherwise stressful life event, we all know this, into something memorable, even enjoyable, and that's their tagline. We make moving fun. His trucks are wrapped in bold pink zebra stripes. His team comes prepared with branded boxes and selfie-friendly moments, and the customer experience is choreographed down to the smallest emotional detail. This isn't just a moving company. It is a brand experience, a consumer experience. If you want to learn more how to differentiate in a commoditized market, create raving fans, and build a business around unexpected delight, this episode is for you. Let's get into it. We have to start with the obvious, right? The name. Then I know there's a backstory to the name. So what's the story behind the name? How has it really helped you stand out in a crowd? Because I think it does. I've seen your marketing material. I mean, you're in a highly commoditized, fragmented industry. How did you come up with this concept?
Yeah, it's a great question. There's a really cool story behind it. I am a huge book nerd. One of my favorite authors is a guy named Seth Godin.
And he's written many books. Who doesn't know Seth?
Yeah, Seth is a pretty cool marketer, you know? And so years ago, when I say years ago, I read a book called The Purple Cow. And that is a very simple concept. If you're driving through, you know, a rural area and there's a pasture of cows, then probably not going to remember that moment in time. It's just another day, right? But if one of those cows were purple, then you would remember that moment in time forever. 20 years later, if your wife said, hey, remember that time we saw that purple cow, you'd see yourself, that time and date would be stamped in your memory forever.
That's right. So that
philosophy carries over to all things, not just business, but all things. And so he calls that the purple cow philosophy. And so I believed that and said, I'm going to do the same thing with Two Maids. And for a very long time, we used something we call a pay for performance plan there, which was a very simple concept as well. Our employees, our maids, were paid based on customer feedback. A 1 to 10 numerical rating determined their wages and solely their wages. And so that became our purple cow feature of the brand, and it allowed us to really move across the country at an aggressive rate. And so I always wanted to pay a homage to my favorite author and my favorite business book, Purple Cow.
Okay, got it. All right, very interesting. I knew there was back. There's always a backstory.
Yeah.
I love the concept. Let's go back, because you are the founder, right, of Two Maids and a Mop. This was a From memory, I've been at this 25 years. That was over 100 unit brand, right? About 100?
Yeah. Yeah. They're still growing and doing great. Based here in my hometown still of Birmingham. And so I still see the people around town and they're doing great. But when I exited the business, when I sold it in 21, we were just under, we had 93 locations at the time. Now they're a little bit over 100. But yeah, we had almost 100 locations. And that all started with one tiny 250 square foot office space in Pensacola, Florida, now more than 20 years ago.
That's great. Good. I'm happy. And then you moved on. So you divest yourself in 2021. I'm going to assume it was a great multiple, let's say 8-figure exit. And then you immediately move into the Pink Zebra. Like literally in the same year, right? 21?
Yeah. Well, it's just a few weeks later, believe it or not.
You didn't go on vacation. You didn't take a sabbatical. You didn't spend any of that money. You just go right into it. You're a true serial entrepreneur.
So the first round of my franchising life, I didn't know anything. I knew the basics, like everybody knows, Subway, yeah. McDonald's, whatever. But I didn't really understand it because I actually had wanted to grow Two Maids through a corporate growth strategy. That was the first 12 units were all corporate units for us. And we made a pivot somewhere along the way where we actually shifted to franchising, mainly because we were trying to scale, but we also were kind of interested in this ownership mentality thing that franchising brings. So
right.
Once we started franchising, you know, it's like a lot of things in life. You're like, why didn't I do it sooner? All the fear that we had of franchisor relations was sort of out the window, far from perfect, but what we gained was such a net positive. You know, not only did we get the scale, but now we had like-minded entrepreneurs partnering with us, wanting the same thing that we were all chasing the same goals of growth and profits and success. And so it became this bonanza for everybody because we got such great ideas from our franchisees that we could test and implement across the network. We had better vendors because of that. We had such bigger spread that we got better terms from those vendors. Everything, you know, we learned along the way, we learned on just like hard knocks. You know, sometimes
That's
we
right.
got lucky and we nailed it right out of the gate. Oftentimes we really made a lot of mistakes. So with right. Pink Zebra Moving, the thought is and has been, we can learn from that experience and not have to recreate round two with similar type of mistakes along the way. And so that's, you know, I love home services. I know the industry well. So I've been in it now for 25 years. And so I really think that it's as boring and as dry as it sounds. It's so sexy and exciting to me. And so I knew I wanted to stay in the home services field, but I didn't want to, again, go through those same trials and errors that I went through with Two Maids.
It's
been a good run so far. We've got a lot of growth behind us and a lot more in front of us.
That's great. How many units sold or open? What are your metrics right now?
Yeah, so we have 52 territories, about to be 54, hopefully by the end of this week, territories that have been sold. Of that, 12 are open, 12 units are open. We have another 5 that will be open by fall of this year in 2025. And so
good for you. It's good growth. You've heard from some incredible franchise brands right here on the podcast. If you're sitting there wondering which opportunity might be the right fit for you, we're here to help. At Franosity, we offer free consulting services to aspiring small business owners just like you. We'll guide you through a focused, strategic process to help you identify the best franchise match. Call or text us at 561-277-3710. Or visit us on the web at franosity.com. That's franosity.com. We look forward to working with you. So I think you are a disruptor, especially if you want to make one of the most miserable things to do a happy, seriously, think about it, right? You know, it's a miserable thing to do. I don't know anyone happy with their moving company. I've never really been happy. I don't think they ever really handle the product well enough. I don't think they package it properly. I don't think they really understand the value of that item to the homeowner. I don't know. I don't think that I've ever had a good experience with moving companies. It's another highly fragmented business. There's probably 18, 20,000 movers in the US. Multi-billion dollar business. Just for the audience, this is a massive business. People don't realize how much you move. But everyone listening right now, think about how many times you moved. Like, just how old are you? How many times have you moved already? You agree with this statistic? The average American will move 11.7 times in a lifetime?
Yeah, I've read that and heard it. I believe
it's crazy.
You know, in our case, we've seen people move 3-4 times in a year. It's kind of crazy.
Not everyone
does that, of course. But we've seen serial movers, we call them, time after time and market after market now. So it's a real thing. You know, when you hear someone moving 3-4 times, you're thinking that's because they moved out of this short-term lease into another one. That's not always the case. We've seen people buy 3 homes in a year and need us each of those 3 times.
Yeah. See, it's not one and done. A lot of people would assume your business is one and done, but it isn't. There's a, there's a recurrence there. It's like once they latch on to someone they trust, you use that vendor really the remainder of your life as long as they're within your area.
Not only that, so we actually have two different customers. We call them the actual end users, the customers who hire us, that pay us. But there's another subset of customers that we call referral sources, property managers to realtors, to storage facility owners and managers. Those folks hold the keys to big tickets and strong trustful relationships. And so, sure, you may only be moving this one person from point A to point B, and that may be the only time they move in 12 years, for instance. But the person that sent you that customer is going to send you more customers later. And so if you make that end user happy, if you make moving fun for them, that realtor who just referred you is going to refer everybody they have to you. It's because they can't be paid. Realtors cannot be compensated. There can't be incentives. That's, they have it's a highly regulatory industry that they operate in. And so their only reason they refer a moving company is because they believe in that moving company. They think they're going to make their client's life better and easier. So if we make it better and easier and, like we say, fun, then we're going to have an endless supply of referral opportunities through their realtor.
Love it. And you're local, right? There's a, I mean, when you look at moving, $23 billion business that's moving intrastate across the country, but 60% of that revenue is local is what I'm learning. And are you only local or within state?
We'll do pretty much anything. You know, we won't move you to Australia, but we'll move you anywhere in the 48 states. Our focus is local moving, which basically is in a metropolitan area. We technically call that within a state, intrastate moving. Okay. The reason that we focus on local moving is we think that's where there's most opportunity for disruption. So a lot of the guys that move you from Newark to LA, the ticket is so big that, I mean, it's a $10,000+ ticket for a move like that. For the most part, the moving companies that focus on that do a pretty good job. You know, there's some horror stories out there for sure, but there's also a lot of good stories as well. Where most of the horror stories come from, the really bad, unprofessional players, are those local moves, because all you've got to do is go get a U-Haul, you call two of your buddies, and now you're a moving company that can move zip code to zip code. So we think that's where the opportunity is. The tickets are a little smaller, but still four figures and up. You know, it's not like these are small tickets. So we still think there's a tremendous ticket opportunity, but there's so much fragmentation within most of our local markets that we're going to compete in that we think we can stand out in a very visible, distinctive way. Making moving fun, you know, a lot of people are kind of intrigued by that. How do you do that? What does that even
exactly
mean? And so that, those questions give us sales opportunities. It creates conversations that we get to have when we're providing estimates to our customers or potential.
I agree. A matter of fact, let's get granular with that. Why don't you tell us what's going on in the industry, what you found wrong with it, and this is what we do and how we make it fun. Let's get really granular and specific.
Absolutely. So all of this honestly started here in Birmingham, our hometown where we're headquartered, with my mother-in-law, of all people. She was moving. She was downsizing and needed to hire a moving company. I didn't know a whole lot about it. I was still in the cleaning space at the time. And so she said, hey, help me find the moving company. So she gave me a couple of different people. She went out, got quotes, said, hey, Ron, which one should I hire? And I remember saying that she had two quotes. One was for around $800, just under it. And the other was like $1,200, $1,300, something like that. And I said, look, even if she's way off, even if this second quote that's cheap is way off, it's not going to be 100% more than the estimate. That's ridiculous. Right. You don't get a quote and then all of a sudden the work happens and they say, oh, it's worth two times that. Well, unfortunately, in her case, it wasn't 100% more. It was 300% more.
What?
So
she went with the 800, you're saying?
Yeah.
And if they 3X'd it at the end?
They 3X'd
oh,
it.
Shit.
And of course, it didn't stop there. All sorts of problems, you know, from unprofessionalism. There was a ton of damaged items like you had talked about. We think sometimes that she didn't really discover until weeks later, or she stored a lot of it in a storage facility. And then, you know, trying to resolve that was an issue too. She actually drove to the office, walked in. I was on a speakerphone when she did this, and they laughed at her. And she cried. She cried in the office. She cried on the phone with me, and they laughed. And so it was a complete train wreck. It cost her 300% more than what she thought it was going to cost. And it made me, the entrepreneur, especially one that loves home services, think, well, what can I do about that? And so I had become a huge fan of this guy named Jesse Cole. He's the founder of a baseball team, of all things, called the Savannah Bananas. And
oh, yeah.
He's a big deal today, but six years ago, he just had a small team in Savannah, Georgia, and he was trying to make baseball fun. And so I said, well, shoot, let's go crazy. You know, let's do something that nobody's ever tried to do in this industry. I know technology is important, automation is important, even systems obviously is an important process. But what if we just said good old-fashioned customer service? What if we made this experience so positive and so different that we would stick out in people's memory? And so in our world, one of the great things about home services, this the best thing, you're a customer of a home services business. But one of the great things is most of the people that populate this industry are tradespeople who end up growing their HVAC company into a real company, you know. And so that same thing happens in moving. So you get a lot of C players, I call it, you know, a lot of movers turned moving business owners, and that's who we compete against. So we may not necessarily can bring Disney magic, because we do try to do that, but maybe we don't. Maybe we're also a C player in this industry, but we still show up on time. We still have a smile on our face. We're still uniform. Our trucks are clean. We don't break everything that we can break. And if we do break something, we pay for it. You know, we reimburse you for that. Like, what if we just do the basics? We're going to stand out. But what if we tried to hit the grand slam and tried to bring Disney magic into the moving experience and make moving fun, like Jesse did with baseball? And so that all started with the mother-in-law story combined with my fandom of the bananas. And we said, let's make our tagline, we make moving fun. And what can we do as a business and as a brand to literally bring that to life beyond just showing up on time in a clean uniform? Right. So if you're ready, I can tell you some of the magic.
Let's do it. Yeah. Let's do it. I want to sprinkle it.
All right. So number one, this is kind of our hallmark. People know this about what we do more than anything we do. The night before the move day, we provide a free dinner. So tomorrow is your move day. You're going to get a call at some point during the day before, and we're going to go through some of the details, like logistical things that we're going to do. And then at the end of that conversation, we're going to surprise you. It's not as big a surprise as it used to be, because people are kind of onto us.
They're onto it,
typically,
right?
Typically, we try to surprise people with a free dinner, and we literally deliver that, say, here, it's on us. All you do is pick your feet up tonight. Tomorrow's a big stressful day for you.
That's right.
But not tonight. We got you. You don't have to unpack any dishes. You don't have to dirty up the kitchen. You can just eat whatever you want. It can be pizza. It can be sushi. You pick. That's the free dinner offer that everybody gets. If you hire a Pink Zebra Movie location anywhere, it's by itself almost enough to make moving fun, because it's so different and unique. But it's only the start. And so we think one of the biggest issues in moving is there's not a relationship with customers. You know, you spend $2,000, $3,000, sometimes even more than $5,000 on a move, and you don't know who you're dealing with. There's no real people. Even the movers that show up are strangers to you. And so we try to build a relationship all the way through. That free food that I just talked about, It's really cool to be able to make someone happy. But ultimately, what we're trying to do with that is bring them closer to us. We're trying to build a relationship. And so we feel like if we're not anonymous, if we're not just a commodity type service, then it's going to be a lot easier to make that customer happy. So that's step one, free food. Step two, we play music. It sounds very simple, and it is simple, but almost no one does it. I mentioned that the movers sometimes are like strangers in your home. They put on their earbuds, they put their hoodie on, and they get to work for 8 hours, which sounds great, like just get to work. That's a stranger inside your house for 8 hours with dead silence, because there's no music to play. There's no TV to turn on. You know, oftentimes you don't even have a computer that you can work from, because there's so much activity going. So we bring speakers. Of course, they're pink, but we bring pink speakers. We put one in every single room, and we have what we call a happy moving playlist. It's all PG, but it's fun music that makes sing-alongs, you know, opportunities with our customers. And we just have some fun. You know, we don't want that dead, generic hospital sterile setting that you think of when you think movie. You know,
this is great.
Yeah. So we do that. One of the coolest things that we do that I really love, it's a bit of a surprise as well. We leave behind what we call a surprise box, which is just what it sounds like. Inside that surprise box, there's some goodies, generic things like chocolates and candy, but there's usually some personalization inside of that. And so
something you know about the client, the customer.
Yeah, there you go. So we oftentimes go to sports, you know,
classy.
So if you're in, let's say a random town, Charlotte, North Carolina, everybody in Charlotte's a huge Panther fan. So we wouldn't go there. They might even be a lot of UNC basketball fans. We wouldn't go there. But if there was a Notre Dame fan living in Charlotte, that'd be a little different, unique. So we try to find out what that different, unique thing is and own it with that customer. And so we would play Notre Dame music. We would put some Notre Dame swag in that surprise box. We would become Notre Dame fans that day. And so we love the surprise box. We leave that behind in a place that they'll find after we leave. We don't hand it to them. We don't put it under, you know, we don't say, hey, don't forget to check the kitchen counter. We left something there. We leave it so that whenever the trucks leave, they're walking around the house. They're like, well, what's that?
And they put it up. It's in your face. It's zebra, stripe, pink.
Right. Absolutely. It's always fun to do that. You know, so of course
like
the trucks are huge. We have a mascot that shows up and the mascot and children love the mascot. One of our franchisees in Cincinnati has this, he's a former college NFL punter and he can kick the ball, as you can imagine. So he goes to every move. And he asks the customer, you go to the other side of your house, go to your backyard. I'm going to go to the front yard. I'm going to punt the ball to you. If you catch it, and he has somebody on the other side videoing it, if you catch it, I'm taking $100 off the move. And so they do that at every single move. People love it. People expect it at this point. Hey, is Drew coming out to punt the ball? We try to do some unscripted things as well as a lot of the scripted stuff.
Right. Customers have to love it. You're flipping the script. Like you said, you're disrupting a boring, almost high friction service.
Yep.
Because it is, it's uncomfortable. There's like four or five people running around my house all day. When I got involved in investment banking, I was in my mid-20s. And one of the things I learned in there is people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And if you care, like everyone listening, never has someone ask their doctor, where did you graduate in your class? Doctors and medical professionals are all measured by one thing, bedside manner. I really like that guy. I really like that girl. Like, why? They listen to me. I like the way they give me the time. So you don't care that they graduated the bottom of their class. No one ever asks. It's right. It's all about taking a genuine interest in the customer, in the client. It's cool. I like what you're doing.
Oh, well, it's great hearing that. You know, it's really cool to hear the stories from our network. You know, the stories I just shared with you. We have an internal system that allows for our franchisees to report those, we call them CX stories, customer experience stories.
Right.
And it's really cool. Every day they come rolling in. You know, when you deal with something like a move, it's highly stressful. Oftentimes the moving company gets attacked. Sometimes it's warranted. In other cases, they're the strangers. So they're going to get the attack. So it's really cool to see the opposite of that occurring with a lot of our locations. One of the things I was real concerned about prior to franchising is, can I find franchisees that are going to sincerely and wholeheartedly buy into the vision that we are going to be a brand that disrupts this industry and by doing something nobody's ever tried before? That was part of some of our early mistakes came from finding people that really weren't quite ready for that type of challenge. You know, they wanted to own a business, they wanted to make some money, but were they going to be the torchbearer in their market? Change the industry. They weren't necessarily ready for that. And so the people we have now in our network really believe that that's why they're here. They're here for profits. They're here to create employment opportunities. They're here to, you know, create wealth for their family, of course, but they're here because they believe Pink Zebra Moving as a brand will leave a lasting legacy years from now. I can't wait. You know, if you fast forward into the future, my vision, my dream is not to necessarily sell the business and grow to 100+ locations. All of that's part of the plan. But really my dream is for one day for consumers, when I see this conversation happening, consumers will say, hey, do you hire one of those old school movers or one of those happy movers?
That's right.
And there'll be more of us. We won't be the only happy movie company at the time, but we started that.
That's right. Yeah. CarMax tried doing it with cars. What do people hate? The friction of negotiating, right? The friction of the back and forth. It's demoralizing almost. People hate shopping for cars because the car sales industry has never evolved. It just hasn't.
That's right.
It evolved with timeshare salespeople, which means they never evolved. And they use 1970, 1980 sales tactics that even an amateur, right, knows, like, I know that move. I know that sales tactic. Like, it's so obvious now. And then other brands like, you know what? Enough. Carvana, which I think is an abysmal failure, but conceptually, I understand what they were trying to do. And then you look at CarMax, it's like, no, that's the price. End of discussion. Friction removed. Do you want it or not? You know, it's like car is a commodity. This is a commoditized business. It's, hi, I'm moving, 2-bedroom, 4 sofas, how much? And it's, hi, I'm moving, 4-bedroom, how much? Yeah. And then you come in and be like, listen, price is only the issue in the absence of value, right? You're out there shopping for something, but we add a ton of value. We make it fun. You have my attention. Everyone else was just giving me quotes. You sound different. What's the difference? It's a game changer.
Listen,
like what you're doing is just so different.
I'll give you the secret to our sales success. And I'm not afraid of it because I don't think people are going to actually do anything with it.
No,
our franchisees do it. We ask this same question every time someone calls. Have you ever hired a movie company before?
Yes.
The answer 99% of the time is yes, of course. Well, there's a reason you're not calling them. So we ask the question, well, why didn't you call them back? Well, what went wrong? What are you looking to improve upon with this next movie company? And then they start telling you all the things, you know, the breakage. They didn't show up on time. They charged me 3 times what they thought it was going to cost. They were unprofessional. They weren't, I didn't even know if it was really them because they showed up in a U-Haul, et cetera. When every single one of those pain points we've addressed within our business model, we can use that to our advantage. So before we've ever given someone a price, we could talk about how we are changing this industry for you, for the consumer. And that becomes the reason people hire us. You know,
that's brilliant.
Most movie companies, most home service companies go straight to the price. You know, it's like the,
that's right.
I'm sure you've heard the grocery store. You want to put the things people want in the back, the meats in the back, because you got to pass through all the other junk. They want you to buy the other junk too. Well, in our case, in the, again, home services space, usually people call a moving company. They say, hey, I need to hire a moving company. This is how big my house is. How much does it cost? And boom, within 30 seconds, you got a price. Yeah. Well, then you're not talking about a $200 purchase. This is a 4-figure, sometimes even 5-figure ticket.
That's right.
You can't make that decision unless you're just hiring the cheapest one. That's usually what you're going to gravitate towards. And so that's our secret. If when we teach franchisees how to sell or their managers how to sell, that's how we teach them to follow the script. Ask that question every single time. And almost every single time, it allows us to have some pretty high conversion rates because people aren't hearing that from other companies.
Absolutely. Speaking of, let's get into some metrics here. What is the average ticket?
Yeah, so it's based on the time of year. One of the things I had to learn about this industry is it is very much
a seasonal
industry. That doesn't mean we're dead in the winter, but it does mean we're much busier in the summer, like the summer periods that we're in now. And so basically from late spring to early fall, it's a bit of a bonanza. The industry joke is the worst moving company is busy in July. We proved that our first July, by the way. We were really kind of struggling to figure out our way. But that's true still. It's still true today that it's summertime is the boom season. So
that's right.
Based on when you're talking about, you have higher tickets in the summer than you have in the winter, the dead of winter. But it can be anywhere from just under $1,000 to, in some cases, closer to $2,000 average tickets. It's really that wide of a variance. Part of it's also who you are as a business. If you're going out and you're making people happy and if you're literally making moving fun, I can promise you people are going to talk about that in a positive way. You're going to hear that from your coworker. You're going to hear that at your church. People are going to talk about the surprise box and the free food and the mascot and the music. They're going to talk about those things. And we're going to get phone calls from other people because of that. And those phone calls, that organic word of mouth typically brings bigger tickets as well. And so If you're making moving fun, then you're going to see a higher ticket typically in our system.
Okay, got it. Labor model. What are we looking at labor-wise to generate this kind of revenue in a move with that, obviously, seasonality? We have to have a lot of vehicles, a lot of capacity, a lot of labor to get all that work done.
Yeah, so if you start a Pink Zebra moving from scratch, you're going to get two trucks, two 26-foot long trucks. You're going to hire six people plus a manager. So six people would be movers. And then you'd have a branch manager that will grow, of course. You need more movers if you have more moves, but you also need more administrative and sales roles filled as well as your business grows. But early on, just at the most basic level, it's six to seven people that are going to be hired on day one. Usually two to three people are on a truck.
Item seven, what are we looking at to get in the business? Now that I just learned, it's a mandatory spend of two 26-foot trucks.
Yep. Yeah. So generally speaking, I'll just be kind of broad here. It's about a $300,000 total investment. Now that means trucks, fees to us, working cap. We're looking at a model. Now we try to coach our franchisees into thinking that, or not thinking, but assuming that the first 6 to 12 months, the first 0 to 6 months should be negative cash flow. And what we hope is if things go as well as we hope, and it doesn't always work this way, as you know, because every business is different, but in that 6 to 12 month time frame, that's when you should start having some higher expectations of your business and that it may have the potential to generate positive cash flow. But we generally tell people that the first 12 months, you're looking at negative cash flow and then go from there. And so if you're building this from the ground up, you know, you probably should have an expectation of roughly $300,000, but that does get you two trucks. Of course, it gives you the
owned dirt.
Most people own. We do have vendors that can do either direct, whatever direction you want. About a third of our franchisees lease their trucks. Leasing has some benefits, but it's also got some negatives as well.
Right.
So you don't get the tax benefits of owning. Oftentimes, you have some limitations on what you can do with that lease truck as well. They don't want you to drive to LA, for instance, in some cases. Buying right now, you know, with post-COVID, there's a real almost gluttony of trucks out there because they kind of made too many during the COVID phase. And so there's a lot of really good deals out there.
Okay, excellent. So in that example of 300, I own it. Can I reduce that 300 by leasing?
Yeah, you can reduce that by leasing. Most people out of the gate, since this is typically a SBA financed investment,
right.
The SBA likes those trucks, quite frankly. And
okay,
so typically, if this is something that you're writing a check for, which does happen, those folks usually choose a leasing option. But if you're funding this via the SBA, typically they want those hard assets like trucks inside.
That's
of
right.
That.
They want in the deal. They're not going to fund the deal.
Right.
Give me all of it or give me none of it.
Right.
Absolutely. Well said. Yep. Okay. So $300. It's non brick and mortar, or no, I do have a physical location.
Absolutely. So that it's sort of a flex space. We have about 40% or so of the office will be office. The other is a warehouse space. That warehouse space there's a lot of space needed for moving supplies and packing supplies, more than you would imagine. Every now and then, some people want you to store overnight, so that's important to have some warehouse space as well. Our office spaces are cultural centers, though. That's what we call them. And so we operate out of there. We don't want people leaving from their house or from a warehouse space across town. We want people meeting in the cultural center every single day so that we can build culture. We have a morning meeting every single day. We talk about what we're going to do to make moving fun. You can't just show up and go, what do I do off script today? You got to plan for that. You know, so we have that morning meeting every day and we talk about, all right, this is what you have in front of you. This is what moves the needle for these guys. So what can you do? Our guys know that sometimes they have to dance. Sometimes they have to sing. Sometimes they have to hug. You know, we've seen plenty of selfies along the way.
That's funny.
And so we put a game plan together during that cultural meeting and even though it may only last 20 minutes, we think it's an important part of who we are as a brand and as each of our franchisees are as business owners. So it's the office is more than just a place to store stuff, to pick up stuff, and to get in the trucks. It is an opportunity for us to grow as a team.
Okay. I completely agree with you, and I love the culture you're building. And the fact that you're able to replicate it, I agree with your concerns. This is next level. Can I get people to execute flawlessly in the field and actually embrace this vision of the pink zebra, the purple cow, right?
Well, I've always believed in franchising. Systems are important, but systems without belief in those systems become just cast to check off. You know, if you're just checking a box because the boss said do it, then especially in our case, how can you make moving fun? If you know, well, I've got to go sing today, and you go in there and you just sort of dial it in and you sing, you can check that box. You could say, hey, sing, coach, you know, boss, I did this today. But if you didn't believe, if you didn't know why you were supposed to sing a song to that customer today, then it doesn't matter if you check the box. So systems with belief, that's the type of environment that we're trying to coach across our network as we speak. That's one of the bigger things we do. We actually have video-based training that teaches how to do that. Like if you're wondering, well, how do I have a morning meeting? Well, we've got multiple morning meetings that we have videoed that have teaching lessons inside of each one of them. And that's how we operate. When we open a new franchise, they're going to go through all those video-based training tutorials even after they're open. If they hire a new manager, for instance, and the manager is like, well, why do I have to have a morning meeting every day? All this video-based training helps with that.
That's right. Just keeps reinforcing it.
Right.
Love it. It's impossible to over-communicate what you expect and what you want from your staff. It is impossible to over-communicate these things. You made a comment, Ron, a minute ago about 6 months, hopefully, like I heard you hedging, you know, hopefully they break even. That's our plan. Yeah. And that 12. But your item 19 is,
It's pretty strong.
So were you being... Right. So now I'm a little confused. So you made a comment about, hey, bank on the first 12 months, almost bleeding to break even, but I'm holding something that says $116,000 average net income in the first 12 months.
So I am from Southern Georgia, and that may not resonate with you, but people from Southern Georgia are the most conservative people that you'll ever meet. And so I have always been very conservative in what our expectations for our franchisees need to be.
Okay.
If we tell everybody you're going to make money within 3 months, 90% do, if that were the case, then 10% would be unhappy, you know? And so
That's right.
On top of that, the 10% that didn't hit that mark need to have the capital runway and along with that, the mental runway to be able to absorb a larger negative cash flow ramp. And so, we encourage all of our franchisees to go and grow very fast. And we've got some people that are growing extremely fast. I can't talk a whole lot about franchisees' numbers, but I'll put it like this. We've got one, like our most recent open was in the Indianapolis area. The franchisee there is less than 2 months old. He is producing revenues and bottom line results stronger than anything we've ever seen across both brands. Like it's ridiculous. And that's exciting, but we coached him the same way we were going to coach everyone. Your expectation should be that the first 6 to 12 months you're in this thing and you're potentially losing money during that time frame. That way, if things go well, you're good. You've had the runway, but if things take longer, if for whatever reason there's some external factors or internal factors that contribute to a slower growth, you were prepared for that. And so that's my mentality.
I agree with that. All right.
Here
I like
at
that.
Original brand. I don't want to overpromise, and I definitely don't want people to be undercapitalized. And when I talk about capital, I'm talking about mental and physical capital. You know, you need stamina for business to grow. And if you think the runway is 6 months and it's actually a year and a half, then you're going to lose some steam along the way.
Okay. So the new item 19 is obviously a bit different. I mean, you're really disclosing some numbers. It's all booked revenue for a single unit, two unit, like three unit. It's very comprehensive.
Yeah. Yeah. So we wanted people to see what it looks like during the first year. We wanted people to see what it looks like the first month. And so you're going to see revenue, actual revenue across our network for all of the locations that were open for at least 6 months last year. In some cases, that means they were only open for six months.
Okay. You added 6 months instead of the trailing 12.
Right.
Okay,
and then inside that same item 19, any location that was open for a full 12 months, we produced not just revenue, but actually their bottom line. And it's an itemized net profit number at the very bottom that in all cases were profitable. So we're really proud of the growth that we've had, a lot of success across the network, a lot of profits, you know, from those folks that are more than a year old now. And it's getting even better. I mean, right now is the strongest month that we've ever experienced by more than 30% right now. This is not just a record, in other words. This is a record plus 30%, and it is phenomenal, some of the numbers that we're seeing rolling into the network, across the network.
That's great. Chart 2 in your FDD breaks out the stores that have been the locations for a year.
Correct.
These are 12 months. Every one of them is net profitable.
Yeah, yeah.
Revenues ranging from $526,000 all the way to over $1 million.
Yeah.
In 12 months.
In a few cases, they literally are just 12 months old.
And they're brand new. Yeah, I think it's fantastic. It's great. And you just keep continuing to scale it. You keep growing it. I mean, you're a young brand, so a lot of these people are young.
Here's the reality. This industry is in high demand. We haven't experienced the boom real estate life. I mean, that's coming. You know, it always does. It's a boom and bust cycle.
That's right.
The American economy experiences all the time across all industries. And so we're not necessarily in the bust cycle, of course, but we're not at the top of the bubble either. You know, so we'll see what happens when that day comes. But in the meantime, real estate transactions are still strong enough for us to generate some real revenue. And some of the things that we do from a marketing, a lead generation standpoint, we get kind of proprietary, but how we find these folks that want to pay us $4,000 or $5,000 at a pop only are working because of things that we've learned along the way. And so we're able to get inside of a new market now and combine our uniqueness to the brand with this really unique lead generation strategy and go pretty quickly. That doesn't always work because you still got to close the sale. You know, just because we get you the phone call, the franchisee and or their manager has to make sure they close the call. But the reason you're seeing such strong numbers right now is because we've got great franchisees with a really strong operating model that has, even in the short time we have been alive, has evolved in that time to be better and more efficient.
Excellent. It's excellent. We're approaching the hour. We discussed a lot. Mainly the differentiators about your brand, which is important because that is the brand. Anything we miss, anything you want to announce, anything, just we didn't discuss this and it's important.
Well, if anyone's there that wants to be a part of something different, somebody that wants to be almost a trailblazer, that wants to someday look back on their own life, not just mine as an entrepreneur, but their own life and say, man, I was a part of something that changed an industry forever. And Pink Zebra Moving's it. Moving may not sound exciting or sexy or exotic, but when you really peel back this industry, you see huge tickets that is supported by a fragmented industry of a bunch of guys in U-Hauls, and you're going to be able to be in that industry, but tackle all of that opportunity with something unique and different. It is a perfect time, in my opinion, to join this industry. Not just because I'm the founder and because I'm biased, because I see the numbers. I see That's how right. fast you can scale this business. I see how efficient it can be and what type of net margin you can produce from this. And it's fun. It's fun trying to change the world. You know, that's what we're looking for is franchise owners that want to literally change the world. And if you think you can help us make moving fun in your market, we'd love to talk to you.
Every market's got to be wide open. You're at 50, so all major markets are probably wide open, right?
No doubt. We have a few that are locked up just because we've had some excited franchisees who were able to scale quickly. But right. for the most part, every major market across this country is available for development.
That's great. Love it. Love your energy. I really do like what you're building in terms of the differentiators. I love disruptors. I hate when the answer to everything is that's the way we've always done it. That's the way the business always works. It's like, no, it doesn't have to be that way. Let's flip the script, do it differently. Look at the pain points. 82% of movers say they're stressed. 80% of movers said the price in the end was not what they were quoted.
Right.
I mean, what an industry. I mean, really, what an industry you're in. It's like, can this get any easier to take market share? Tell the truth. Do what you say you're going to do. Do it right the first time. Respect their personal property. maybe use their first name. Like, come on, take an interest in the homeowner. Right. It's buy them. It's interesting you say that because it's true. It's like, what are we going to do tonight? The refrigerator is empty, empty, clean. The house is broom swept for the realtor. Like, we're ready to go. And I really appreciate you taking the time out of your day and spending an hour with me and telling us about Pink Zebra Moving. Thank you, Ron.
You
this
bet.
Is great.
Thank you. It was an honor to be here. If anybody wants to learn more, pinkzebramovingfranchise.com.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to like and subscribe so you never miss out on more great content. And if you're considering investing in a franchise, whether it's the brand you featured today or another opportunity, we're here to help. Visit us at franocity.com. That's FranOcity.com. We love to help you take that next step towards business ownership.